got lot of problems. Female trouble. Maybe I'm tempted. Female trouble. They say I'm insane, but I don't care. Go ahead, put me in your electric chair. I got lots of problems.
You're listening to Female Trouble on Go Radio in Gainesville, Florida. Leanne's here.
Yeah, we're joined by our friend Leanne. She's going to help us play some records tonight and talk to us.
Yeah, I think she wants to interview us about stuff, and I think maybe we'll just do it on the air in a little bit.
So it'll be like Female Trouble first.
We talk about ourselves. That's not true. We always talk about ourselves.
So, I mean, an interview.
We're going to start with Dozy Babe, a song name I don't know how to pronounce. And that was a good try. And followed by The Cums.
Thank you.
You're listening to Female Trouble on Go Radio in Gainesville, Florida. We were just like negotiating what we're about to do right now with Leanne, who's filming me do this, I think. So I'm going to try to look really cool. So I think she's going to ask us a couple questions about ourselves and Female Trouble right now.
Yeah, so basically just what made you guys start doing Female Trouble? What inspired you to start getting together every two Mondays?
You want me to go?
Sure, and then I'll just grab this so that I can...
Yeah. So, I guess, like, almost 2 years ago now, right?
Yeah.
Meredith and I had been invited on another Go Radio show by her boyfriend at the time and our friend Travis. So we just came and did like 1 hour show. And I don't know, it was really fun. And I was like, what if we had our own show? And Travis had sort of agreed to like split his weeks with us. So, right?
Yeah. That's sort of like the logistical reason of why. And then probably like why we wanted to do it. I mean, we're both really into music. That was probably like the first thing that we bonded over when we became friends, was like shared music. Sorry, it's weird negotiating like talking into a microphone for the radio and then looking at the video.
I didn't come up with that. I didn't think of that like problem.
So we, you know, really love music. We play music, and we're feminists, you know, and so like we see a lot of times like women being underrepresented or not being credited for the music that they play. And so we wanted to sort of, you know, highlight maybe some female artists that don't get a lot of attention or, that should just, you know, that we really like. And, also to learn a little bit more ourselves, I think, because I mean, there are certain things like punk, you know, that's probably like our main shared interest. And so we know like about Riot Girl and we know about what came before that and about women in punk. But there's like a lot of things like I really like weird psychedelic world music and like reggae. And we've just done like a bunch of like more themed shows where we have to do a lot of research. And so we're actually learning more about like entire genres that we liked, but we kind of realized like, oh, we like a lot of men in this genre. And that's been pretty cool. Like,
yeah, I feel like we've also done a lot of shows that are sort of like exposing inequalities in music in this way where we're like, oh, well, there are these backup singers and they were like so important and uncredited. And we also did a show about Carole K, who's like an uncredited studio bassist who played on everything.
Yeah, like session musicians that have maybe come up with either the actual music for or like the coolest version of a song that everyone loves and they think like, oh, I love this song because the Beatles are geniuses and they made this, or the Beach Boys are geniuses and they made this, but actually it's like this woman who was a bass player who never got credit for it. I mean, she got paid, or maybe she's in the in the notes, not always.
But not like no notoriety or whatever.
Where, you know, you're getting like quotes from Beatles that are saying like, oh, this song, this bass line changed my life, and you're like, oh, that was actually a woman, that wasn't Brian Wilson or whatever. So
also one of the things that kind of struck me when we like I first came to Gainesville and got acquainted with Grow Radio is that like Grow Radio is this like volunteer community radio station that anybody can be a part of, and there really aren't very many women DJs, like, at all, right? Like, I can think of, like, five.
I think maybe there have been a couple more new ones. Like, I know, just off the top of my head, like, our coworker Viola from the video store, and then our friend Chelsea, who is one of the co-directors of Girls Rock Camp. The two of them have started shows.
After coming
on our show, both of them. And, so...
Yeah, so I feel like we're just, I don't know, trying to, like...
Make things happen.
I feel pretty good about it, though. Yeah. I think we have, and we've upset a lot of people at Grow Radio, so...
And also just trying
to, like...
We must
be doing something right.
Yeah, I think, too, like, personally, I might have been, like, in a little bit of a cultural rut at the time that we started doing this. Like, I had been playing music a little bit, and then all of my bandmates moved away,
and it wasn't like a very serious thing. And then but I wanted it to be, and like Laura and I were really good friends, but she had lived away for a long time. And so I just felt like I'd maybe like friend wise, I didn't have all of what I needed. And so I think it's pretty cool to like make what you want Gainesville to be like, make it that way, because a lot of times it can, especially after living here for like 11 years in my case, it can get bad, you know, it can be like bad in all of the ways that like a small town or a college town is, even though it has a lot of amazing things to offer. And so if you just make things happen, they'll get better.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think like we're at an advantage being in Gainesville, just being able to be like, oh, well, we want a radio show and now we have one. Mm-hmm. It's not like this super competitive process or like, you know, we don't have problems booking shows or like getting on really sick shows with our band and stuff like that. So, yeah, maybe we should play another song.
Play a song? Yeah. I don't know what it's going to be, but let's figure that out.
I have like a Sonic Youth song queued up right here.
Okay.
Cool thing.
I don't think so. Close and walking like a panda. junkie nurse, oh junkie nurse, I met you on 11th Street. You dropped by and got me high, your smiles just leave me be. Junkie nurse, oh junkie nurse, I could not love you more. Since I found out you keep the keys to the safe on the second floor. Lovely nurse, my junkie nurse, I never wanna burn you down. So just bring me a prescription when you next come downtown. Dr. Mons, Dr. Jones, but it makes no difference. If he cuts you off, he'll lose his own license. Sucking, you can shoot, soon get the boot to be with me evermore. I love you evermore.
You're listening to Female Trouble on Grow Radio in Gainesville, Florida. We're talking a lot, so if we mess up, it's not our fault. I mean, it's totally our fault, but you know why. Should we tell them what they heard, Meredith?
Yeah, we should. Okay, I think we started with Cool Thing by Sonic Youth, and then we heard The Cranes, and then I chose two really funny cover songs. The first by Pussy Galore, and it's off of Exile on Main Street, which is exactly what it sounds. A really amazing cover album of Exile on Main Street that I think my favorite review of it was that it was criminally unpracticed. But like, you can tell they obviously like love and appreciate the album, but, and they were kind of talking about, I don't know, it was good. I won't go too far down that road because we have an interview to do. But and then the Sonic Youth side project, Chicone Youth. It's a cover of Madonna, and it's called Into the Groovy. which is self-explanatory. And then we heard Royal Truck's Junkie Nurse. And now Leanne is going to ask us a question.
What were some of y'all's early musical influences getting into punk?
You want me to start?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I actually, I don't know. I feel like I was into music from like a really early age, and I started going to shows with my sister when I was like 10 or 11. I think the first show I went to, this is kind of, it would be embarrassing if I weren't 11 years old when it happened, but I think one of the first shows I went to was the Get Up Kids, and I was really into Braid at the time. so I saw them. But at that time, a lot of the music I was really into was, like, we were talking about this earlier, like, No Doubt and Alanis Morissette and that kind of thing, like, women musicians like that. But I did get into Riot Girl, like, really soon after that. Like, I remember in, like, 6th or 7th grade getting Sleater-Kinney Dig Me Out and it being, like, like, mind-blowing, like, so awesome for me. So that's probably, like, I guess, like, I would say, like, the way I think about music now was really shaped by Riot Girl.
For me, my first favorite band was the B-52s. My mom had, like, the Cosmic Thing cassette tape, and the tape deck was, like, the, on the stereo that she had, it was, like, the only thing I could really reach when I was little, and so I'd put that tape in and, like lay on the ground and, like, listen to it. So, you know, that, in a way, like, could lead you to punk. It could lead me to punk much later, but I think I, like, I also, the first concert my mom ever took me to was No Doubt, and it was very sweet of her to do that.
Gwen Stefani listens to this someday. She's going to be so proud.
She's going to be so, so flattered that the women of Soda consider her a musical influence. And then I think kind of veered away from that for a while. You know, like when you're getting into middle school and like going through some weird social things and like puberty and peer pressure, you're maybe into like pop music and on the radio, and I kind of did that for a while before coming back to more like alternative or independent music. And I would say like Laura, I came to Riot Girl through backwards, or like I liked La Tigra first, and so I like found out about like Kathleen Hanna and all of that by getting into like this, the more like later dancey music, and then being like, oh, she has these roots in punk and did all these things. And I don't think it was until I was friends with Laura and we worked together that I actually, like, she convinced me to like Sleater-Kinney. I didn't like them. I didn't get it, really. I liked Bikini Kill. I liked La Tigra, everything Kathleen Hanna did, the Julie Ruin. But I just, like, couldn't get into it. And then I think I realized how awesome and amazing it was later. And then through those two bands, I got, like, deeper into it. Also, my friend Ryan, who I think we've talked about on this show before as, like, a cool, like, he always suggests really good bands that I end up, like, 6 months later, they'll be my favorite band. But he got me really into The Slits and X, which are two favorite artists. We play them all the time on the show. So I think that thanks to Ryan Boyle for getting me into those.
I didn't start listening to X until I was, like, 22.
In college, yeah, me too.
Yeah, I didn't. They were, like, I don't know, beyond some, like, realm of music for me or something. Like, they weren't like punk in the way that I listened to punk music.
Yeah, I was like very unfamiliar with like any West Coast, like specifically like California, that era punk, more into the Pacific, you know, Northwest.
I also love pop music, and I've like loved pop music forever.
Yeah, so, I didn't mean to diss pop music and that thing. I was
I love pop music. I loved Belle and Sebastian in high school. I
was like, yeah, that was actually the first, maybe one of the first things that we bonded over.
Yeah, yeah, like that's one of the things that got me and Meredith talking about music. And we were like, oh, we like these other things that aren't this like sort of like at the surface pop music or whatever.
Yeah, and now like even as far as pop music that we really like now, like current influences, Dolly Parton, Madonna, we really love them. They're, I think, cool female icons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Oh, yeah, in high school, I loved Crass. I was, like, obsessed with Crass and always listening to Crass. I would Crass tattoo.
Because you're pretty cool.
Crass is a band that's in the world. Yeah, that's it, I guess, like, early music that I listen to. Yeah.
What are some of your favorite bands right now?
If y'all didn't hear, she asked what some of our favorite bands right now are. I love Vermin.
Yeah. Maybe they're one of our favorite local bands for sure.
I actually was thinking about this when preparing for this show because I've been really, really into like the same thing for like 6 months now. And I basically just want to listen to Galaxy 500 all the time. Mm-hmm. All I want to do is listen to Galaxy 500. And I think it's because I'm really busy and stressed out. And I just want to hear like slow music about nonsense. Mm-hmm. But favorite bands right now. So I guess Galaxy 500, I'm really into them right now. Our band Soda talks about the Rolling Stones a lot, which has made me sort of revisit the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, I really liked them in high school, and then a lot of my friends who were cool and introduced me to good music didn't really like them, but they liked everything else around them that they should have, and so I was like, oh, maybe they're not cool, but I still like them, and I guess I'm also revisiting them because I'm like around friends that are also talking about them and revisiting them or getting into them again. And I guess when we talk about music with our bandmate, like the three of us talk about things that we like right now, we've been talking a lot about Kim Gordon and Sonic Youth. We've been talking a lot about the Rolling Stones, Rail Trucks and Pussy Galore, which we played.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like my like music taste hasn't really changed all that much. Like, I still really like anarcho-punk stuff and Riot Girl and all that, and I do listen to it, and, like, you know, Rolling Stones and Beach Boys and, like,
reggae.
Stuff like that. Reggae. Oh, I love reggae. I love, like, Delroy Wilson, and we did a reggae show, but it didn't record.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a huge bummer.
Also, I've been getting really into, sorry for you having to hear this all the time, this Nigerian synthesizer guy named William Onyebor. I talk about him a lot. It's embarrassing. But okay, so I got this compilation when I was in high school. I'm pretty sure just because it looked cool and the title of it was Love is a Real Thing, which I thought was really neat and had a psychedelic cover. And it was one of those instances in which I just bought it because of the cover. And it was cool. It's all West African psychedelic rock and funk music from the 70s. And it was so weird, and hardly any of the songs were in English, so I didn't know what they were saying. I had never listened to music like this. And I think that was, like, my gateway into getting into this thing, like, world psychedelic music. And he had a song on there called Better Change Your Mind, and I loved it, but I never, for whatever reason, I didn't explore his music further. And now, there was, like, a compilation of his songs put out by this record label called Luwaka Bop, which was started by David Byrne from Talking Heads, and it's gotten like a lot of attention, and so now everyone is like realizing how awesome William Onyebor is, and that has made me like actually dig deeper, as Sean T would say.
No.
Sorry. You can cut that out of the interview. Into his music, so I like that.
You talked about...
I talked about a fitness...
You talked about a fitness guru and puberty in cool. two of your talks.
Awesome.
Sorry.
Sorry, I'm not always cool. This cool exterior.
Always cool. Always cool. Shanti's cool. Should we play more songs though?
Yep.
Yeah. What are we going to play? Let's play this Asteron song.
We'll be right back. like this when I'm not with you.
You're listening to Female Trouble on Grow Radio in Gainesville, Florida. When the song is ending now and we're not ready for it, I just go like, oh no, and wait for Meredith to
move your hands in the air, like you wave them back and forth.
Like, Meredith, do the thing that you do.
We were caught in the middle of telling a story.
Yeah, I actually thought we were only going to play a little bit of that song because it's really long, but it's Chris and Cozy. So we're gonna finish out the night now with one of Leanne's picks. We're going to play Girl School, which I wanted to play on the show for like a while now. We haven't, so I'm really excited. Yeah.
Thanks for coming and playing music and talking to us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having me. And for the gluten-free cookies. They ruled.
Thanks. They did. I know. I'm trying to not snack into the microphone. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Ready?
Yeah, we're ready.